Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
And we are so excited that in December we're going to be here. I think the next 3 months is going to be really long because we want to be here. We feel called here. We're excited about coming here. And it's going to be a long wait till December. But it will be here soon enough, I'm sure. And we are so excited to be part of this church and to be in ministry with all of you guys. And to sing such great music and sing praises to God in this place and pray together and study the Bible. Those are the things I believe in. I believe if you're singing praise to God as God's church, you're praying and you're praying a lot and you're studying the Bible, you can't go wrong with that. You know, people don't sing praise to God and pray often and study the Bible and follow what the Bible teaches them and then find out that doesn't work. That's never happened. It works every time. Now, we don't always get our way. We don't always get what we want. Everything doesn't work out exactly as we want it to every time, but it works in life. If we are singing to God, if we are His church together, if we're praying to God, and we are studying and following His word, it works every time. And so I hope that we'll always practice that every Sunday we'll come together and we'll practice that life of singing praise and praying together and studying the Bible together and living that out together. We practice that every week and we take it into our daily life. And that's exactly what the first disciples did with Jesus. They were with him, they praised him, they lived with him, they learned from him, they talked with him, and they learned from what he had to teach them. And we see this all throughout the Gospels. The scripture reading today from John 21, that's the last chapter of the book of John. This is one of the last conversations Jesus has with Peter before he ascends back to the Father. He has died on the cross. He is resurrected. He is about to leave this earth, and the Holy Spirit is about to come upon the disciples. This is one of the last physical conversations that he has with Peter. For the previous 20 chapters, Jesus has demonstrated his love, his passion for his disciples, for the whole world for that matter. He has taught them, he has healed them, he has shown miracle after miracle, he has shown teaching like they have never seen before. He has given his life, tortured to death on the cross for our sin, and he has resurrected from the grave in glory. He has shown that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. He has shown that. He has shown that we can sing together, "Oh, how he loves us." There are 20 chapters in John describing that incredible love that Jesus has for us and how intensely, to the point that he would give his life for us in that terrible death on the cross, and in his resurrection give us eternal life. All that is demonstrated throughout the gospel. And in this last chapter, after all that is done, Jesus has a question for his disciple. "Do you love me?" He has already demonstrated his love. He has shown his love. In the most radical ways possible, Jesus has shown how intensely he loves his children, that he loves the whole world. And at the very end, after all of that, his question is, do you love me? Peter answers yes. Now, Peter's had a struggle with that. That's not been an easy road. Peter ran away, scared, denied he even knew Jesus after Jesus was arrested. As Jesus went to the cross, Peter wasn't there. He struggled in that relationship at times. The stress got to him at times. But after all of that, Peter can still answer, yes, I love you. And Jesus says, then if you love me, do some good work for people. Feed my sheep. Jesus is that good shepherd. Jesus takes care of his people. Jesus loves all the world. And if we can answer the question, yes, Jesus, I love you. If we'll respond to his question, do you love me, with a positive response of yes, I love you, then his instruction is do something good. Do something good for somebody. Do something good to make the world a little better place. Feed my sheep. Do something. Jesus doesn't even tell us what. He doesn't even give us instructions. Just anything. Do something good for somebody. Because Jesus loves all the somebodies. He doesn't even say, well, then do something good for me. He says, feed my sheep. Do something good for other people. But Jesus makes sure that Peter is really with him. He asks him a second time, even a third time, do you love me? He'll push him on this. He pushes for this answer. He wants to make sure. He wants Peter really to think about this. Do you really love me? And every time he says yes, and every time Jesus gives the same answer, then if you do, if that's true, then do something good for someone. Do something good in the world. Whatever it might be, do something good for someone to make somebody's life better. That's what the followers of Jesus do. But there's some subtleties in that. Many of you in this room speak multiple languages. So you know that translating gets a little complicated sometimes, that there's nuances and subtleties and just little things that will change the meaning just slightly, that you still get the point. But there's some subtleties in there that can be a little bit important sometimes. And there's one of those in this passage. This was originally written in the Greek language. All the New Testament's written in Greek. And when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He uses the Greek word for love, agape, which is the highest order of love. It is the godly love. It is pure love. On an earthly level, we compare this to the love of a loving parent for their child. It is that sacrificial, give your entire life, give everything for that person. So as parents and maybe other relationships, we experience a little bit of that sacrificial love, that nothing is too much to ask for that one. And God has shown that, giving his son. Jesus has shown that agape love, giving his life on the cross. And he asked Peter, do you love me, to that highest level, to that agape level, to that highest order of love? Peter chooses a different word. When he says, yes, I love you, Peter says, yes, I phileo you, the Greek word phileo, which is a bond of brotherly love. It is an intense love, like brothers love one another. But he chooses a different word. Doesn't mean he doesn't love him. Of course he loves him. But he chooses a different word. And a lot's been made of this. Some people have speculated that maybe he chooses a different word because of his experience of running away, that he knows that he is imperfect, that like we say here in this church, we are imperfect people. Peter has lived that. He knows he's imperfect. And so perhaps he changes the word. He says, yes, I love you, but he chooses a different word to show I love you to the highest human ability, but I fall short of the godly level. Others have said, Maybe he chooses a different word because he wants to show some intensity, such as you might say, "Do you love me?" And a person might respond, "Oh, I adore you. I cherish you," trying to articulate that love. However we interpret that word, phileo, Peter chooses a different word. And I think that's very important. Peter is willing to evaluate his own measure of love. He is willing to look at himself. He didn't just haphazardly, offhandedly say, yeah, same. yeah, agape, well, yeah. He didn't just repeat what Jesus said. He looked at himself and chose a different word that he felt described him. So that first conversation, the first part, he says, "Do you agape me?" Peter says, "I phileo you." The instruction is, then feed my sheep. Do something good for someone. Make the world a better place. The second time Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Peter again chooses that second word, "I phileo you." And the instruction is the same, then feed my sheep. Do something good in the world. Help people. The third time, Jesus changes the word. He says, "Do you phileo me?" That Greek word phileo, he changes to Peter's word. Now, this upsets Peter, okay? Peter's already told him twice exactly how he loves him. And Peter grows upset. He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know everything. Why are you questioning this? I've already told you twice. You know me. You know I phileo you." And the instruction the third time is still the same. Feed my sheep. Do something good in the world. Jesus has shown his intensity, his passion, his tremendous love, his overflowing love for us. And he has that question, "Do you love me?" And as his people, as his modern day disciples, as his church, we answer that question. And we need to do what Peter did. We need to look at ourselves and say, where am I in my love for Jesus? Am I at that highest level of godly love? Is the Spirit of God so much within me that I am connected with God, that it is an agape love? Or would I need to choose a different word? Maybe I've been hurt and I'm scarred, and my love for God, my love for Jesus, maybe it's not where I wish it was. That I would say, since in English we have just one word for love, I would still say, "Yes, God, I love you." But if I'm evaluating, I'd have to qualify it. I'm somewhere on the span of love. That in other languages that have other words for love, I might pick another word. In English, we make it very convenient. We can say we love Jesus because we only have one word. Anywhere along, a little bit of love or complete love for God, it's all love. But in other languages, perhaps we would choose another word. In English, perhaps we would qualify it in some way. I love God, but I struggle. I love Jesus, but it's not perfect. I love Jesus, but I'm also angry at what has happened in my life. I love Jesus, but sometimes I feel guilty and wonder if he can really love me after all I've done. We would put qualifiers, we would put descriptive words in our description of our love for God. And when Peter did that, when he chose a different word, when he described his love differently than how Jesus asked it, Jesus accepted that. Jesus will take the love that we are able to give right now. Now, his hope, his goal, his destiny, his teaching to us, his Spirit within us will lead us, if we will let Him, He will get us to that godly place of connection with Him. That agape love, that love that is so intense and sacrificial, we will give our whole life to God. That we will love God and be filled with God's love. God will bring us to that place, but that may take time. That will take time. In a fallen world, in a sinful world where we are imperfect and we have been hurt and we have been scarred, we will not always be perfect in that love, and Jesus will take the love we are able to give at this moment. And He will love us so intensely and with such passion in that reckless love of God that the song we sing, "Oh, how He loves us," begins to fill us, and that love becomes renewed towards God, and that love grows. If we will allow the Spirit of God to grow in our life, He will bring us to a higher level of love. But right now, this day, He will take the love as we describe it. So we need to have the courage of Peter to say exactly how we love Jesus. It might be exactly how He wants us to love Him, in that agape love, or it might not. We may choose a different word. We may choose some qualifiers. We may have to describe the love less than that, but Jesus accepts the love we give. And whatever that love is, wherever it is in that span, whether it is a little bit of resisted, broken, hesitant love, or if it is a complete filling with a Spirit, intense connection with God, no matter where it is along that spectrum, along that span of love, the instructions are the same. Take what love you can. Take what love you have for me. Take the love that you have at this moment and feed my sheep. Do some good in the world. Do something good for someone. And I think one of the reasons Jesus will completely accept that, the reason Jesus calls imperfect people that may struggle to even love Jesus fully, the reason He sends imperfect people that are broken into the world and says, "Feed my sheep," is because the world is broken. And when the world that is broken, when the people that are hurt see hurting, broken people loving Jesus through a broken heart, they are fed like sheep. They see that love in our life, even if it is in a broken heart. They need to see that. The people of the world need to see that we can love Jesus even when we're scarred, even when we're broken, even when we're hurting. That we can love Jesus where we are, and because we love Jesus, we will do some good in the world. That we will seek to feed the sheep and make the world a better place, even if we are not perfect Christians, even if we have fled from God sometime in our life, even if we have made mistakes. Even if we are scarred and broken, we will take what love we have for Jesus and help the world. Peter was very wise. He had been through a lot, and he learned, I may not be able to return the love of Jesus as much as He gives to me, but I'll give as much as I can. Peter was wise to know, I might not be able to say, yes, I agape you, but Jesus, I'll give you everything I have right now. And Jesus says, okay, then feed my sheep. If you didn't have love for Jesus in your heart, you wouldn't be here right now. It may be broken. You may have scars. You may have anger. You may not feel close to Jesus, but His love for you has not changed. The intensity and the passion and the radical, reckless nature of His love has not changed, regardless of how we feel. It's not about our emotions. It's about His love. That hasn't changed. And whatever our answer is to Him needs to be an honest answer. It may not be the answer we're proud of. It might not be the answer we wish we could give. But when Jesus asks us, do you love me? We need to give an honest answer to that. Whatever that is, we need to be honest with ourselves and to God and to know exactly how we love him, how much we love him, in what ways do we love him. And whatever that answer is, Jesus accepts that and gives us the instruction. Then take what that love is, whatever it is, as much as it is, and do some good in the world. Would you pray with me? God, we know you love us. Help us to love you. Help us through our praise, through our prayers, through our study of your word, through connection with your spirit. Help us love you. Help us to love you more and more every day. And we thank you that right now we can be honest with you in how we love you, how much we're able to love you right now. And thank you that you accept that love. And whatever that love is, God, help us to show the world, even if we are loving through a broken heart, help us to love the world and show the world your love, to feed your sheep. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.